Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Red Sox talk when you want
this
it.
This place is great.
Listen to the Baseball Reporters Podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com or on the Sports Hub app.
Radio and the internet.
Red Sox talk when you want it. Listen to the Baseball Reporters Podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com or on the Sports Hub app.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Snap to Bortles, looks left. Now he throws across the middle to a wide open D.D. Westbrook to the 50. Cuts left, off a hit by Van Noy. Runs down the left sideline, 25-20, 15-10, to the 5 to the end zone. Cuts down Jacksonville. A dagger.
Now you had the shot.
Blake Bortles with 4 touchdown passes.
Wow.
This just sums up the day and the way it's gone.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bob Soucy is brought to you by the New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Strategy. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight. This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. Bob Soucy, of course, the play-by-play voice of the Patriots and the Patriots Radio Network. And we are their flagship station. Hello, Bob Soucy.
Hey, good morning, Fred and Rich.
All right, in the end of the first half, when was the last time you can recall seeing Tom Brady that rattled?
Well, you know, the Buffalo game last year when he got irate with Josh McDaniels. But I don't think anything like that where it was en masse to his teammates or with McDaniels.
No. He seemed to be a little gun-shy. Oh.
Yeah, Fred. I mean, I think there was one particular play that stood out, and it was a play in which actually Sony Michel, I think, picked up the blitz. But Zoe even speculated after we came back from a break, he threw an incomplete pass, kind of off the back foot, bailing out, way out of bounds to the right. And you know, Michel picked up the blitz, but Zoe speculated on the other side of the break that maybe Tom just didn't expect him to. And you know, there's no doubt. I mean, you go into that game, you know how good Jacksonville is defensively and how athletic they are. And you know the limitations without the wide receivers on the outside and with a new right tackle, but you're going to have to play almost flawlessly. You've got to do it with smoke and mirrors. And they tried to do a lot of that. And when it wasn't working, I think, you know, there was that tendency at times I wouldn't necessarily say gun-shy throughout the game, but there were certainly periods. And that particular instance stands out to me.
All right, Bob, you've seen this pattern over the last several years where the Patriots get off to a slow start for the season. Everyone's quick to jump to conclusions. I mean, it's happened more times than we'd like over the last at least 5-6 years.
Just about every year this decade, in fact.
It seems like it. Can you look at what happened yesterday and, I don't want to say write it off, but can you compare it to the way that they performed in the seasons beforehand, or is this something that should truly give us some concern?
Well, I think there are some positives to take from it, and then there are still lingering concerns. And the positives are, as you alluded to, the history. You know, I think back to 2014, and at the end of the season, the Patriots had won Super Bowl 49. Bill Belichick said that in the second half of that Kansas City debacle, he saw fight in his team. And I thought we saw a bit of that yesterday. When Dante Hightower, who really had a lackluster game up to that point, drilled a receiver over the middle. It was really a hard hit. And then on the very next play, Gilmore drills a guy and forces a fumble. And at that point in time, you know, we were thinking even to ourselves in the booth, you know, what do you do here? You just want to get out of this place healthy, at least as healthy as you can be from here on out, because the game was well in hand for Jacksonville. And the Patriots actually came back, and then they gave themselves an opportunity to pull within a couple of scores. So I thought that was a positive sign, and you know, you certainly have been, you know, given enough examples not to overreact. But there are the concerns going forward. You know, they have to have somebody on the outside as a receiver. They had Brandon Cooks last year, and I know a lot of people were disappointed overall in the body of his work, but he was a 1,000-yard receiver, and he was a guy that could stretch defenses a bit. And they've got to find somebody like that, because right now, as I mentioned earlier, you're trying to do it with a lot of smoke and mirrors. Brady didn't even target a wide receiver for the first couple of series on that that game yesterday. So you're working trying to get the running backs involved, and you know, Jacob Hollister, and Hogan's less effective without that guy. And until Edelman comes back, of course, you know, they're hamstrung there without another complimentary piece. And then beyond that, I think the defense was especially disappointing to me. I thought the defense would be much improved, and I still think they will be. But yesterday, there were breakdowns. Certainly, you know, the lack of speed at the second level in the linebacking core was evident. The inability to cover backs, tight ends, which was a persistent problem last year. It was there in week one against Kansas City, and as we know, it was there in the Super Bowl versus Philadelphia.
Should we worry about Eric Rowe? I mean, he did not have a good game. He was benched after two series, and Jason McCourty wasn't much better. But in order for the Patriots' defense to succeed, Eric Rowe has to succeed.
Yeah, John, I still think Eric Rowe is a – I'm not going to say he's you know, an exceptional cornerback. I mean, I think Eric Rowe can do the job, and I think he's shown examples of that in the past. He didn't have a good game yesterday. There's no sugarcoating it. Frankly, I can't identify – anybody defensively. I mean, you know, Gilmore had a couple of plays, certainly, at the other cornerback spot, but that's to be expected. But I thought overall it was really a disappointing performance to a man on the defensive side of the ball. And I think Eric Rowe will bounce back. I thought he said the right thing. At least he held himself accountable after the game. And, you know, I think that they've got a couple of young guys that we haven't seen in regular season action that may get a turn at some point, J.C. Jackson and Keon Crossan. I'm not expecting them, you know, to be starters or assert themselves by the end of their rookie year. But there may be a point in time where if yesterday's play continues, that they start to turn to those guys when they're healthy enough.
I keep coming back to this because, you know, from the booth, what did Jacksonville do to make it so Rob Gronkowski only got two catches yesterday, even with an elite defense? You would think that, as I was saying last week, a guy who was just like in triple coverage, able to go up and get it, that they would find some sort of way to get it to him more often.
Yeah, you know, Rich, and even Tashaun Gibson talked to Greg Bedard afterwards, I saw, and kind of, you know, made a similar statement in that, you know, he said the previous week Brady was throwing it at times into double coverage and had the trust that Gronkowski could make the play. And I think it goes back a little bit to Fred's point earlier, too. I thought there were a lot of throws yesterday, at least more than usual, they were kind of low into the outside, and the receivers had to go down and get them. And I wondered if that was Brady's awareness of just how good the Jacksonville corners are breaking on the ball and kind of being weary of that, trying to be safe and throw it away from them. Because there were times when those guys had given some Patriot receivers some fairly decent cushions, but you saw people going down. I think there was a play with Hollister, there's a play with Dorsett, and a couple of others as well. And I watched those plays and thought, is he trying to throw it there on purpose because he's concerned about, you know, the balls being picked off? And I don't know if that factored in as well with Gronkowski, just maybe less risk taking, even with Gronk, than in the past. But, it's, when you look at a game like that from the booth, it's really hard to see it all, especially when it's, you know, my position. Number one, I generally don't process everything that's taking place on the field, even when I try to watch coaches film, but when you're calling the game, you're watching the ball, so you're not seeing what's happening downfield.
Did you have air conditioning?
The windows were open. There was air conditioning blowing in the back of the booth, thank God, because it was brutally hot down there.
All right. Will we see more of Cordarrelle Patterson this Sunday night in Detroit or less of Cordarrelle Patterson this Sunday night in Detroit?
Well, we're going to see him back there on kickoff returns. I mean, I think they got to still try to make something happen with him. They got to find a way to make him a useful weapon in that offense. You know, going forward, because again, you know, right now they're lacking playmakers, and I thought they would get more out of the screen game. There again, you know, so far, and it's early, but I thought they would get more out of the screen game than they did last year, because that was an area in which Cook struggled. But you know, they had that play set up beautifully yesterday where he toppled over. Now, just using the play helped set up the second touchdown for Hogan, because it was a similar look, and then instead of throwing it in the flat, Brady fired down the middle to Hogan. So, yeah, at least the threat of it was there. But they've got to find a way to incorporate him, John. They've got to have more people involved than just Brady throwing it to James White and Philip Dorsett and Rob Gronkowski and Chris Hogan.
All right, Bob Sosi. Burt Breer said that the Patriots are doing, I forget how he phrased it, but essentially they're doing due diligence when it comes to Josh Gordon's availability. You in or you out on Josh Gordon?
I'm out. I mean, the talent is there. He could help them, but look, he's been so unreliable. The reports are from a lot of people that you know are pretty reputable, to say the least. That it goes beyond just the marijuana use. That he has a lot of issues that are pretty significant, important, concern. And again, you know, he's one strike away. I think you know. I understand the temptation right now. I don't think they're at that point yet of desperation, but I'm not in that corner yet. Even with Dez Bryant right now, and I think they've done due diligence on him as well. But we'll see. They can bring in Kenny Britt. I don't know if he's the answer, but they got to find something.
Yeah, it sounds like Britt's. Did you say that Britt's coming back?
Britt's coming back in for a workout in the hopes that his hamstring is fully healed. And if his hamstring is fine, they're going to sign him today.
Well, there's your hope.
Right there it is.
Cracker. We're ready to go.
He was so good when he was here earlier.
Yeah, I know. Just like I said, bring out the duck boats. All right.
So. Where's Zolak's Golden Tate level talent?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's not coming.
I'm hoping we can bring him back to Detroit next week, but I don't know.
Detroit might move him if they keep up like this. All right, Bob Sosi, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot.
Oh, we appreciate it. The voice of your New England Patriots right here. On 98.5 The Sports Hub. We will be right back.
98.5 Kutcher and Rich. Boston, the greatest sports city in the world. Period. And this is Boston's home for the Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, and Revolution. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Oh, well, it seems like everyone's nightmares have come true. So over, you know, this whole entire summer, there have been shark sightings, even a shark attack. Guy that was bit in the stomach and he ended up, what, did he punch him or kick it in the nose? And that's how he ended up fighting it off.
Right.
Yeah, like you punched it in the gill. I guess you're supposed to do that if you're being attacked by a shark, if you're thinking straight. Well, then unfortunately this weekend in Wellfleet, there was a guy who died from a shark attack. It's the first shark attack fatality in more than 80 years. And the scariest thing about all of this is that they're saying it was 30 feet off the shore. 30 feet. Who goes to the beach? And I thought it was 30 feet. Are you saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had read 30 yards, but is it 30 feet? Oh, my goodness.
See, I had read 30 feet.
Okay.
But, I mean, think about that. Who doesn't go 30 feet off the... I mean, you go on the beach, you go into the water, you're going 30 feet in.
Is this oceanside or landside of Cape Cod?
It said... Let's see. The man...
North Shore or South Shore. I guess Wellfleet is as you go north around a corner there, so...
It said he saw the man aggressively kick something behind him and a flicker of a tail from the water. He realized what was happening. When a friend came ashore dragging his injured friend, quote, I was that guy on the beach screaming, shark, shark. It was like right out of the movie Jaws. This place has turned to Amity Island real quick out here. They said that others on the beach attempted to make a tourniquet while others frantically called 911. They said Haley Williamson, a Cape Cod resident, former lifeguard, was on the beach at the time, was in disbelief after the man was rushed to an ambulance. Quote, we've been surfing all morning right there and we're just further down. Right spot, wrong time, I guess. And they said that they were doing life-saving measures on the beach before he was taken to Cape Cod Hospital in Hyannis, where he was pronounced dead. And they said, it's the first fatal shark attack in Massachusetts since 1936. So there was the one that was on August 15th, that guy in Truro who was attacked. But now, I mean, you hear something like that, you going in the water again? Is this enough to keep you out of the water? Like the fact that it was that close to shore... And it was an actual death that came from it?
All I know is if I own property on Cape Cod, I'd be very nervous. Because it seems like it's getting to a point where you're not going to be able to go in the water without threat of shark attack.
I'll tell you what, this year has been... Is this happened every... Not the death, this is obviously the first time in a while, but Does this just happen every year and just for some reason we're always shocked by it?
No,
because this year seems worse than any other year. And if you go to Shark Tracker...
It gets worse and worse because, and I believe it's the temperature of the water and that the seals are coming in and then that the sharks are, you know, feeding on the seals.
Well, the craziest part is that if you ever go to Chatham, that you can hear, like outside your window, if you're staying at a place in Chatham, the seals barking, like loudly, like they're dogs, they're barking.
You go, knock it off!
And if you're in a place where you can hear seals, don't go swimming.
Seals and Crawford?
Seals and Croft.
Seals and Croft?
What summer breeze makes me feel fine. I think that's it right there.
Well, maybe that's why the sharks are coming. It's just to hang out.
It's just going to take it out that way. I know that those, and also there's like a massive jellyfish problem also, I believe.
That's
this
almost
summer
worse.
As well. The jellyfish problem?
Oh, my God. Have you ever been stung by a jellyfish?
Oh, yeah. It sucks. It absolutely sucks.
And then when you go in the water and there's like just, they're in Hilton Head and they just keep washing up and it's just seas of them. Oh, that's the worst.
My son was bit by a jellyfish this summer, and right near where we were on the beach, there was like a beach restaurant, and we went running in there, you know, with him, like my wife was carrying him, and he goes, I need some vinegar, because supposedly you put vinegar on, it worked. And they came out, they brought out like malt vinegar, like the kind that you put on, like the stuff at Captain D's and Long John Silver's, okay. Like fish and chips.
All right.
They said, no, I don't think that's going to work.
You're supposed to pee on it.
I did hear that peeing on it does help.
That's from an episode of Friends.
It's also from a Survivor episode, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. Someone peed on someone who had a jellyfish sting. But jellyfish, I mean, that stuff happens like all the time. Like, I mean, you see that stuff right now. I mean, and you know, these surfers go out with the wetsuits and still go with the jellyfish out there. But I mean, this just seems the shark attacks, it's like worse than it's ever been.
The sharks have always been there. You were talking about Shark Tracker, and we were discussing this on the air 2 or 3 years ago. Sharks have been there for a while, or close by, close enough for a while. But this is the first year they've become more aggressive. No? Am I imagining this? It just seems like this year things have changed a little bit.
So people in Cape Cod have always, for your lifetime, have had sharks in the water right by where they
No, that's not what I'm saying. I never knew about this up until 2 or 3 years ago. I never knew that the sharks had followed the seals up the coast and the seals were close and that brought the sharks in. I found out about this 3 years
you
ago, but there
do?
Wasn't an attack until this year.
You get a kiss from a rose.
Because that is a seal song.
Yep. Come on, baby. Yep, yep. Put it into gear. Patty, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I heard you guys discussing whether it was 30 feet or 30 yards from shore. So I think the confusion there was so I have a friend that is a fire chief on Cape Cod. So the attack was anywhere from 30 feet to 50 feet from shore. So that is extremely close to shore. I think the yardage comes in where there were reports that he was surfing 300 yards from Newcomb's Hollow, which is down the beach. So that was the length of the beach, not 300 yards out.
Yeah, yeah. It was boogie boarding. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the National Park Service responsible for that part of it says, tweeted that the attack occurred about 300 yards south of the beach, and it happened 30 feet from shore. Oh, it was 30. According to the... I guess access to the beach facing the sea was closed. So he was in an area that was you were not supposed to be swimming in. And somebody said, and I don't know if this is true, but apparently there is a large sign that you have to walk by to get to that part of the beach that says, be shark smart, and it has a gigantic picture of a shark on it that you have
to
walk by.
They're on all those beaches now. So that's the ocean side, not the bay side. That was another question that you guys had. So Newcomb Hollow is on the ocean side. So that's where they're coming from. And, yeah, it's from the seals and the warm water. So, yeah, I'm not swimming on the Cape anymore. No way, man.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't own property there. I'll tell you, they pulled a Bobby Vinton.
Bobby Vinton is what song? It's from the 50s? Blue Velvet?
See, Volare? Is that Bobby Vinton?
Is Bobby Vinton?
It would have to do, it's a play on words.
Yeah, but I don't.
Sealed with a Kiss.
Boy, that is a reacheroo.
That's all right.
That is a reacheroo.
I respect the hell you brought in Bobby Vinton. I like that.
Oh, you look up Seal songs?
No, I just put in Sealed with a Kiss. And Bobby Vinton popped up.
Hey, Zoe, ready to seal the seven seas?
Sarge, 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 Sub-Zo. Sarge, 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 Sub-Zo. Sarge, 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 Sub-Zo. Sub-Zo, Sub-Zo, Sub-Zo. It's all good, baby. Uh-huh, 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 uh-huh.
Can you one more before 9:30? Can you do one more?
I got to think.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
You know, I'm still
one more.
Still slowed down from Friday. Miles, go ahead.
Hey, I was just responding to the comment that I guess like sharks were getting more aggressive, and I think really it's just a matter of like investigatory bites and then victims, you know, bleeding out later. Not necessarily actual aggression from the sharks, but really just, you know, busy beaches, more sharks being drawn to the area.
That's environmental, right?
What do you mean?
That I've been told that the water's warmer, and then that is bringing the seals in, and the sharks are then coming closer.
Well, aren't the seals protected now, and then populations have been booming since?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, I thought that they were, really essentially protected, and I know that there's a great white nursery south of Cape Cod, so that they really kind of found over the last couple of years.
All right.
And there are more in the water. We've got populated beaches here. So I think it's really a matter of just, you know, paths are, you know, done across at some point. And, you know, they don't have hands to see if they want to eat you. So when they try, you know, they're...
Yep.
I'll tell you I'll tell you, we're never going to survive unless we get a little crazy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. There you go. I like that.
Were the Go-Go's hanging around there by
any
chance?
That's pretty good. Oh. The Go-Go's.
Yeah.
Our lips are sealed.
There you go.
Oh, very good. I got crazy. That one I got.
How many songs with the word seal in it?
No, we've covered all of them.
Apparently a band called Volbeat has a song called Seal the Deal. Other than that, I really can't find anything else.
Okay, but that doesn't play with the nobody
knows.
My ear.
Nobody knows what's going on with that, no.
All right. Well, I don't need the peanut gallery telling me what my business is.
No, you don't.
You know, Stevie Wonder signed, sealed, delivered. That doesn't work.
Oh, that would have been a good one. Why'd you just blow the joke? Come on, you should have just
signed, sealed, delivered. Yeah, you could have done that.
Mm-hmm. I could have done that.
Real quickly, Greg, go ahead.
Greg.
But he was on hold for a really long time.
He was mesmerized. I think he's still stunned by your Bobby Vinton joke.
Yeah, it's really funny. Really funny. All right, Rich, we have the stack coming up. We're going to talk about the Wallman's workout routine.
Wahlberg's got one ass-kicking workout routine, which leads to some questions. I have questions about how he's broken down his day. Mark Wahlberg put it on Instagram, how he spends every waking minute.
Yeah. He does devote some time to silent prayer,
mm-hmm.
and then he eats seven meals. Yeah, anytime they talk about what Wahlberg's doing during the course of his day, I just take notes and start following it.
Well, you have to. I mean, if you want to have the guns that he has. I have many questions. I've, like, gone down here, and I'm like, okay, well, why this? Why here?
Okay.
Well,
I look forward to it because from my own experience, pushing a little weight around, I'll let you know. What's fact or fiction? Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ultimate hardo move. Mark Wahlberg posted his insane daily schedule. Oh, goodness. And it's giving you good vibrations because if you ain't up by 2:30 a.m., then you ain't working. That's how he
super
starts.
Super necessary.
That's how he starts. Okay, Fred, I'm looking at this, and let's just go through it. There you go. You need the good vibes to go. Let's go through it. For everything that he put here in order. 2:30, he wakes up.
Why? You have no reason to do that. This is why he's not working on a film, correct?
Because yes. This is, on days where he is not on the set of a film, this is how he does a normal day when he's in.
Why would anyone have to get up at 2:30 in the morning?
Well, because it's to fit in all the stuff I'm about to tell you about, Fred.
Okay.
At 2:45, it's prayer time. Okay. Very religious. Wakes up. At 3:15, breakfast. Okay. That's 30 minutes of prayers. A lot of church services aren't 30 minutes long. Those are long-ass prayers.
Maybe
it's
a meditative...
Yeah, prayer and reflection, Rich.
Okay.
Right?
30 minutes to do that? That's pretty long.
That is long, but you have to get up at 2:30 to fit it all in.
You do it. 3:15, you got breakfast.
By the way, I think those meditations might mean a nap. He gets up 2:30 and then lays down on the floor.
Goes back to sleep. Right, this is called snooze button. He's praying with his eyes closed. 3:40 to 5:15 a.m., that's his first workout of the day. So he's already crushing an hour and a half workout right there.
3:45 to what?
To 5:15. It's an hour and a half workout at 3:40 in the morning.
Okay. All right. An hour and a half of working out, it's a lot, but mm-hmm. maybe he's ripping some carbs or ripping some cardio in that.
From 5:15 to 5:30, that is your post-workout meal. You got to get them protes in. Get them shakes ready to go.
So it takes him 15 minutes to drink a protein shake.
It takes him 30 minutes to eat that shake because it's a post-workout meal from 5:30 to 6 a.m., where at 6 a.m. he showers.
Okay, now it's time to get on with the day. Okay. I mean, you've already gotten up and knocked it out before everyone else gets up.
The gentleman's shower apparently lasts an hour and a half because he doesn't do anything until 7:30.
Well, you know what? Sometimes a man needs to find himself in a little self-love.
In fairness, he has to drive to the golf course because that's what's at 7:30 is golf. He golfs at 7:30. At 8 o'clock, it's a snack, and then at 9:30, he's at the cryo chamber recovery. All right. That is the fastest game of golf. Okay, even if you're doing 9 holes of golf.
No, maybe he snacks during the round.
Okay,
is that possible?
No, let's say he does. But if you're at 7:30 a.m. and you're on the golf course, and 2 hours later you're already back home in your cryo chamber to recover.
He's playing 9.
Okay, 9 holes.
Even if you play fast and there's no one in front of you, it's 3.5,
well, listen,
right?
Maybe he just does it super fast. Maybe he just runs with the bag.
Sure.
And just, like, plays polo.
Sure.
It's time to get in the cryo chamber.
Right.
To get everything all healed up.
That's what he does, of course. We know that. And then, after that, another snack at 10:30. And then 11 o'clock, family time / meetings / work calls. Boy, the family kind of gets screwed in all that.
Yeah, that seems like he's doing a couple things while the family's around.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, hey, you know, if I'm going to be with the family, I might as well do 3 other things while I'm at it. And they're like, hey, how come there's no exclusive time just with the family? So 11 to 1, he does 3 things at once, including ignoring his family or giving them 1/3 of his attention. Lunches at 1, then 2 o'clock meetings / work calls.
These are, like, very luxurious lunches. Like, to sit down for an hour.
It's an hour-long lunch.
When was the last time, like, on a weekday, you sat down and had, like, an hour-long lunch that didn't involve drinking?
I would say that I don't know if I've done that, like, an hour-long lunch during the week? Like, yeah. By myself?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, wait, what are you doing?
At 2 o'clock, meetings / work calls, and then at 3 o'clock, pick up the kids at school. Oh, yeah, because you're that kind of dad.
Wait. When was his time with the kids?
His time with the kids was at 11.
Until when?
It's family time until 1. Family time / meetings / work calls.
So the kids are in school for 2 hours?
Maybe it's different kids. He's got a few kids, right?
All right.
Okay. Picks up the kids at school at 3 o'clock, and then he's got a snack at 3:30. So he comes home and says, all right, kids, get out of my way. I got a snack. And then at 4 o'clock, it's time for workout number 2, bitches. And that's when he just really starts crushing it. At 5 o'clock, he's got a shower. And then once again, the family gets screwed because it's 5:30 dinner / family time. Why isn't there just family time / family time / family time?
Listen,
where they get their undivided attention.
Sometimes you need to take 2 hours and just really appreciate the food.
And then at 7:30, it's his bedtime. How can you live that way? Everything good happens after 7:30.
Especially, like, why is that necessary? Like, I know if you're, like, super bodybuilding guy, you got to get 9 hours of sleep, they say.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to be at 7:30.
Can't you move, like, shift everything?
Yeah,
shift everything 2 hours and don't pick your kids up at school.
No, you're not bringing your kids to school. So you can shift it. I would understand if it was like, okay, I have to bring the kids to school, so I want to do all this stuff before I get to them. You're not doing that, apparently. Just picking them up from school.
No,
so shift everything.
You're getting up at 2:30 so you can say you got up at 2:30.
Sure, because no one wakes up earlier than Mark
and Walton. He's got a trainer. Can you imagine being the poor guy who's training him? Like, I got to show up there at, like, 3:30 for no reason.
He's got a lot of snacky.
How long is the second workout?
The second workout is an hour.
So he works out for
an hour and a half, then another hour. So
two and a half hours of work. That can't be good for you.
But then there's the stuff that comes with the workout. And that was like the another shower that's 30 minutes. Well, the shower, it's an hour and a half. And then all the like post-workout snacks or meals, 5:30. So, yeah. So from 3:40... until 7:30, it's all dedicated to him working out and something having to do with his workouts.
That seems like an awful lot.
Well, I mean, listen,
are you as jacked as he is? I do not
as
even.
As he is?
I do not.
Speak English?
I do not even pretend to be into that in that ballpark. Karen, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi.
Hi. So we actually call him Mark Wahlbag in my house because he just makes me throw up in my mouth. And a second thing is, like, how dehydrated must his skin be if he's in the shower for all those hours?
Well, listen, when you go hard, you got to cut weight in the shower.
Somebody said, now you know why he left the Super Bowl so early. Oh, it was way past his bedtime.
Right.
Uh-huh. Does Mark ever go to the bathroom? I would think that would be prayer time.
Why would anyone get up
and do that? Absolutely.
Prayer time and reflection.
Right.
There's no way that a human that does not have to get out of bed at 2:30 is getting out of bed at 2:30.
It doesn't happen. No.
There's no way. That's against evolution.
Unless you've got that human pee timer. Which goes off every morning at 2:30.
Still, even if that happens, you don't stay up.
My dog won't get out of bed until 7.
Yeah.
And she's 10 months old.
My dad used to have the 2:30 a.m. thermostat timer and scratch yourself timer. Where we would just get up and his tidy whities and adjust the thermostat for what seemed like 30 straight minutes while he scratched himself. And for some reason, whenever he'd scratch himself, there was this echo in the hallway, which made it sound like it was in a canyon. Like he had just won the skin lottery. He was scratching his scratch ticket.
Well, my dad would get up and he'd have his 6 o'clock pack of cigarettes.
Oh, that's the worst.
And then he would go.
I lived with
Then he would go to work where he would have his 3-martini lunch. And then he would come home from work and drink Ghibli's gin.
Ghibli's.
That came in a plastic. He wasn't an alcoholic. I'm dead serious. He wasn't an alcoholic or anything, but. A little different lifestyle back in the day.
Well, Fortnite now is apparently documented to be responsible for at least 200 divorces. There was a recent report in the UK. There was a resource site called Divorce Online. More than 200 couples filed for divorce in 2018, citing a Fortnite addiction and other games as reason for the split. That's right. They said these numbers roughly equate to 5% of all the petitions that they handled in the UK. That is, you can attribute that to the game Fortnite. I thought Fortnite was like a kid's game. Like,
no.
I know that there's other ones that are not, World of Warcraft. I know a guy who plays 7 hours of World of Warcraft a day, and I'm not joking. Did I tell you, Fred, that when I went to that Overwatch League dinner thing where they had people like these professional gamers explain to us how to play and all the rules, there was a guy who was at our table who was 24 years old, and I asked him, how many hours do you have to play to be good at this? And he goes, well, World of Warcraft was the game that kind of got me into everything. And at the top of the screen, they keep a total of how many hours that you have played the game since you first started and logged on. And I said, well, how many have you played? And he goes, if you total it together, it's over 6 years.
Wow.
And I said, is that 8-hour days, 6 years? He goes, no, that's 24 hours. 6 years of my life have been dedicated to World of Warcraft. He was 24.
All I know is if I let my son play with his friends, if he has a friend over that wants to play, it's never enough. Well, can I put some money on this so I can buy these skins? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, no. And then he's like, comes down again. He goes, give me so-and-so's number because we're playing with them and I want to talk on the phone with them. No, just stop. I'm letting you do something. I give you an inch, you take a mile. I mean, it turns kids into different people.
Somebody just said, just watch Wahlberg tee off at the course I work at as I'm listening to you guys roast him. This is great. Then he's a liar. He was supposed to tee off 2 hours ago.
Well, hell yeah.
Me thinks that he does not wake up at 2:30. He starts his schedule 2 hours later, and he's only waking up at 4:30.
Well, maybe he's working. Maybe he's working, you see, so his schedule is different.
Maybe that's in California.
Oh.
That could be too.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But he's still off schedule because it's supposed to be 7:30.
Yeah, it's an hour earlier.
No, he's got to be working. That throws everything all into
Maybe
chaos.
He woke up at 1:30 to show you. Maybe that came out because that's not early enough. And Wahlberg said, I'm the earliest.
Well, all that time eating and playing golf, that's really inspirational. I had to get up at 2:30 because I have to play golf every day.
Imagine if your day you have to schedule 2 snack times. What are you, 6?
Yeah, well, you get Lunchables and you got to make the sandwiches.
Right before recess.
Right, you get your Juicy Juice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Capri-Suns don't. I mean, that can be a bitch to get that.
Fruit roll up?
To get that straw in. All right, we'll be back. We'll find out with Zolak and Bertrand. Bertrand's got to be a little tired, what they have going on. As they, Bertrand did pre and post, and obviously Scott did the color, and flying back from Jacksonville last night. We'll talk to them in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We are Thatcher and Rich. Do we have to get Huey Lewis in the news already?
Are we sensing that these guys might not be here on time? Have we not heard anything?
I haven't seen anybody yet.
Oh, all right. I will have Huey Lewis in the news ready to go, which is, of course, what we play when they are not ready to roll. How great is it if they don't show up and they're on TV? If they are.
Oh, hey.
We should just have Bird standing by himself in the middle of the room.
You just have him, like, eat a sandwich in front of the logo for a while.
No, just have, like, face right in the camera. So the only thing that you can see when it comes on is that. There he is. There is Mr. Tan, Scott Zolak.
Oh, he's got the Axe shorts on. He's ready to go.
Well, he's obviously feeling good to be back from the hellhole that is Jacksonville.
I have not been late in 18 months.
How's the heat? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
What's that?
I have not been late in 18 months.
Where, another job?
No, this job.
Oh.
I don't have another job.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There are some fail-safes built in to make sure that doesn't happen.
That's right. You used to have guys call you, right?
Yeah, Lockhart calls, but it's now just a friendly gesture.
I thought of you guys yesterday. I was waiting for the Jacksonville lady. Like, you know, my new beach house.
Oh, yeah.
My beach house.
Sometimes you gotta...
come
check
in
and
steal the show.
Took it to the limit.
I never saw so many tank tops. I'm not talking about women wear. I'm talking about men. It was like a NASCAR event. North Florida is a piece of work, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's different.
It is.
Did you hit the city at all, or did you guys go?
God, we stayed 10 miles outside, and there's really nothing in the city.
No, there's not. There's nothing.
They said, don't even go down. It's not even worth your time. And
yeah, on the weekends, there's like quite literally nothing.
Yeah.
Like there's no businesses that are open. There's no restaurants.
Amelia Island is, and I stayed at the Ritz many, many years ago. It's a Ritz-Carlton right on the ocean in Amelia Island. It's gorgeous. I think that's basically the only nice part of Jacksonville.
I think my grand aunt had a place in Amelia Island that she bought for like 5 cents, and then she held on to it for 8 years.
There's a chair set.
Which chairs?
Is this the one?
Yeah. I have no idea. Everyone like rearranges chair. Everyone's got like a favorite
Hardy's
chair.
Hardy's got the chair because he can't sit in my chair because it's too warm. You know what I'm saying?
What was the mood on the plane yesterday, Scott?
I mean, it's not depression. I mean, because you lost a football game. I mean, been there before in this spot. I thought they got a little bit of a rhythm there in the second half, and it was like a 60-10 game.
Right.
It's an 8-point game, and it's a one possession game.
Right.
I mean, screwed up. You couldn't capitalize on a turnover. You let them score before the half. Becomes a 21-3 game instead of 14-3.
Let me ask you,
gave up that 60-some yard touchdown, that stupid one down a sideline where nobody could tackle or cover.
They obviously are still having problems at receiver. How confident are you still that they're going to bring in the Golden Tate level talent?
I mean, to watch that game yesterday and watch how they had to put people in motion and put like Cordero Patterson his tailback and put Rex Burkhead off him and bring the motion across and do the dupe thing to get it to Hogan. It's so much smoke and mirrors that I mean, it's frustrating. You labor on offense. They're mirror back labor right now. And I think he's giving you everything he can just from a game management standpoint, just to make it work. And you got to bring somebody in. You have to. Don't worry, Kenny Britt's working on it.
That's right. He'll be signed by this afternoon.
Nice 8-pack.
Yeah. But they might get Golden Tate if Patricia keeps this up.
After two games, three games,
and it's going to get to. I still think you may need one guy plus Edelman. I do.
Josh Gordon.
I don't know. I mean, what's the head like? Can that guy pick anything up?
No chance.
What's good bringing him in if it's going to be like a Michael Floyd situation?
Because he's wildly talented.
He's extremely
talented.
He's
much more talented than Michael Floyd.
I'll never forget him running away from Aqib Talib. And when Cleveland was here playing in that game, when Aqib was covering him and he got hit on a slant route, and he went like 60-some yards or 70, whatever it was.
I'm a nice
man.
You sure? Yeah, but I mean, we could get out Jacksonville fast enough.
Troy Brown said his talent reminded him of Randy Moss.
Josh Gordon's
talent reminded him of Randy Moss.
Get him in, coach it up, and let's go.